Welcome to Tea, Toast, and Theology.
Wonderful. So today you heard the creation story, you heard a psalm, and then you heard a few words from the letter to the Corinthians, and then the gospel, all these things that you heard. So my question to you all is, based on the readings that you heard, when was the ostrich created? Serious question. What do you think? Day five? Yes. Day six? Right. We already have a debate here. And that is why. Why do we have a debate? Because what happened on day five? Birds of the air were created. And on day six, every other creature was created, right? Now, here's the problem. Is an ostrich a bird? It doesn't fly. It can fly, but it doesn't fly very high. Huh? It's heavy. Okay. We have Weight Watchers that meet, right? So day five or day six, right? You see my point? That if we bring a question to the scripture that it never intended to answer, we can have a debate. We will never be able to answer it. We'll be debating it like crazy, right? Was it day five or day six? Who knows, right? Only God knows. So, what is the point of the creation story if it is not to let us know exactly when the ostrich was created? What do you think is the point of the creation story? Remember, there is no correct answer.
I think even God needed a day off.
God worked very hard. All right, okay. God worked very hard. All right, okay. So that's the point of the story. Awesome. Okay, any other ideas that you think that this story has a point? So what is that point? Or multiple points, obviously. God worked very hard. God had to rest on the seventh day. All right, okay. God's been with us always. God created everything. That is the, yeah, okay, what else? Any other ideas, thoughts? Again, no answer is the correct one. It's a planned process, okay. What else? Anything else that you may be thinking about? All right, so there's another very interesting thing in it, right? What happens on the very first day? God separates the light, right? And light from darkness. So there is light and then there is darkness. That's what God does on the very first day, right? And then the sun and the moon come on the third day, right? So our concept of light and the source of light and, you know, that doesn't work in this whole story. So there is a point to this story, or more than one, I think, but that point is really not what we, the questions that we may bring to it to answer from our context. Yesterday was a wonderful, wonderful conversation at our Bible study. It was one of the best church Bible study conversations that I think I've ever had. It was deep, it was engaging, it was just marvelous. And we talked a lot about context, right? And so that's not the context. So what is the context? Now, the context, I believe, is that the very first thing that we observe is that there is actually a day one, a day two, a day three, a day four, a day five. So to your point, Mary, that there is a process and it's planned and it is organized and there is logic to it and there is the word for today. There is order to this whole thing, which means whatever God did, it wasn't random. It is not random. It's actually a thought out thing. Or then you also have this thing where something is being created. What does God do when that thing is created? God looks at it and says, "Oh no, what have I done?" Is that what God does? No. What does God do? It's good. God looks at it and goes, "That's good." In Hebrew, it is ki tov. That's good. It's good. It's not only cool. It's not only cool. It's not only great. It's actually good. There is a value given to it. It is actually good. Right? So God looks at it and says, it is good. There is a value to it. So there is order, there is value. And is this just happening? Is this the product of some science experiment gone out of hand? Right? It's not like God is going, oh my God, look, there is a mountain coming up. Oh no, there's a sea. It's not that, right? It's not happening in a haphazard way, but more than that, it's not just randomly happening. There is a source for all that is actually happening. There is the agency of God at work. So it's not random, it's orderly. It's also not without a source. It is actually with a source, and that source is God, the agency of God. And then whatever God created, even those creepy snakes, God looks at them and says, "What? That's good." Right? Everything that God creates, God looks at it and says, "That's good." Now, I think we live in a world where we are beginning to shift away from these concepts. Not only from the concept of God, we know that increasingly people have a hard time with, saying there is a God. But also this whole idea of the agency of God, this whole idea of order of God, because, if you think about it, a lot of us are now saying, whatever, right? There is more and more confusion. There is more and more this idea of, whatever, it just happened randomly. I don't know who's responsible, but let's just roll with it, right? And yet there is this idea of order, okay? So those are some of the things that come out of that story. And then this story gets into something that we have a really hard problem with. You know, obviously we now have a problem with God and agency of God and order and purpose and all of that. But then there is this one thing that we, I think, today are having a really big problem. And that is, what did God tell the first human beings? Do what? Be fruitful and multiply. Maybe that is not a problem considering the world population explosion. So, but maybe fruitful part is. But there is the next thing that God says to them. What is that? Right. Maybe we're skipping three books here. So in this story, right after he is saying, okay, be fruitful and multiply and then do what? Those words are difficult ones for us. Yes, subdue and have dominion over everything that I have created. Oh. How do you like those words, subdue and have dominion? How many of you would love to be subdued and have someone else have dominion over you? You can raise your hands. If I ask, how many would like to subdue someone? Maybe more hands would go up, right? Yeah, that is a concept that we are having a really difficult time with today, right? We don't believe in that subdue. And that is not only because we are having a hard time with order, but we are having a hard time with the sense of hierarchy, right? We are having a hard time with that sense of hierarchy. And in the Psalm you heard, on verse 6, it says, you have made him but lower than the angels. You adorn him with glory and honor. Him there is the people, right? Meaning that there is God, and then there are angels, and then there is this human being thing, and then that human being has dominion over everything else. Pretty clear hierarchy, if you ask me. Right? Meaning, don't ever think, as a human person, that you can somehow have any controlling effect on the angels. And don't ever, ever think you can have a controlling effect on God, of course. So there is this hierarchy, right? Now, we do have a growing issue with that kind of a notion of subduing and having dominion. And yet there is a hierarchy. Now here's what I would like to propose to you. That this first story was about, what is the first story we heard about, this long story? Creation, right? It started in the beginning, and from last week, you remember, when is it that it begins? When is that time? When is the beginning? Oh, you all remember from last time. Exactly. Beginning is when the beginning began to begin. Okay? That is when we are talking about. That's the time frame we are talking about. Right? So it's in the very beginning of when beginning began to begin. And then, all of a sudden, we are in this story from 2 Corinthians. What is that story, time frame-wise, in that context? What is the time frame of that story? Paul is saying what to them? He is saying the very first word, finally. What does it sound like? Does it sound like when the beginning began to begin or somewhere in between in that context? Finally is the end. And if you were unsure about that, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. So if there is any confusion, finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. So we have a story from the beginning, and then we have a story from what it seems to be the end in this story of Paul's relationship with the people in Corinth. And you thought that the lectionary was set randomly. Right? Right? There is even an order in that. Right? Okay, so there is that notion of start and finish. And then Jesus' words from Matthew. Where do they appear? What time frame is Jesus talking in? The words that you heard today in the gospel, what time frame is that? The middle of Jesus' ministry?
After his beginning. After his death and resurrection.
After the resurrection, you can say it with confidence. After the resurrection. Yes, after the resurrection. And it is his final act with his disciples, right? He is risen. He is there with his people. This is the final thing. And in the final thing, he is saying, and I hope that from here on, you will read this statement with a new understanding. He is saying to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go back to when? The very first story that you heard today, the creation. Remember who has the agency there? God has the agency. God is doing things. God is exercising authority and then giving that authority to the human person, saying, you have it for the rest of the creation. And once again here, Jesus is reinforcing that and saying, all authority in heaven and earth. Now that is really, really interesting, because the first authority that was being given to this human person, did it include heaven? Yeah, it didn't, right? It was only about the earth. Have dominion over the earth, about all the animals and everything. And all of a sudden right now, what is Jesus saying? Very radical for the mind that knew what that authority was all about. So the authority now is for who? All of us. Not only what is here, but also in the heavens, which on the very first day, the light got separated and the heavens and the earth were separated. The light got separated and then there was the waters got separated from the heavens and the earth. Remember that? And here is bringing all of that together and giving it to the human person, and not only human person, that audience of 11 now, the followers, and saying all authority on heaven and earth is given to you to do what? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, not just one or two, but all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to, then a very, very difficult word for us today, especially if we are sitting on both sides of a parent. That word is obey. It's a difficult word. You don't live with that idea anymore, do we? Obedience is a difficult thing. And yet it says, obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So what Chris said, the first story was that God is there with us from the beginning. And remember that I am with you always to the end of the age. So now, what is the point of this whole exercise? My friend, the point is that Christians do believe in order. As Christians, we do believe in an authority that is given to us. As Christians, we do believe that we are to reimagine those words and sort of disassociate them from our history and understand the idea of dominion and take away the oppression that sin brings into the world and causes to give those words a connotation that is truly, and for good reason, repugnant. Right? So our work is to reclaim the words of dominion, of obedience, of having the authority to subdue. For what reason? Not for the reason of personal gain. In none of these stories, God is saying, go and do this, exercise this authority and power, and make everyone else's life miserable. Which is what then sin does. That's what sin is. If we are making someone else's life miserable, that is a very good indication of sin. Right? So what is it that God is saying? That order is from the agency of God. God is not living with randomness. God is living with an order. And in our lives, order is good. I don't know how many of you have ever watched all those shows where they show you how wonderful your life will be if you were able to order things in your life, right? Shows that come, people that come into your house and clean up everything and put everything in an orderly situation. You know, guess what? We all desire that, right? We all desire that kind of an order in life. But here's what I would like to propose to you. Jesus's life had a very interesting ministry mission to it. Jesus, without fail, would challenge, that word we just have been using that he gave to us, he would challenge, authority. All his earthly ministry, Jesus challenged authority. I want us to pause and think about it. Jesus challenged authority all through his, because he was a good person, right? Anyone here thinks otherwise? Hopefully not. Okay. He was a good guy, right? In fact, in Christian faith, we believe he was one with no sin, right? He was a good guy, yet he ended up on the cross. Now, you don't end up on the cross if you are the most pliable, amiable, most agreeable person. You end up on the cross because you try to make a point. And when you make a point, someone is not happy about it. And then you land on the cross. And that's what happened to Jesus. He didn't land on the cross for a sin that he may have committed. He landed on the cross because he challenged the order. He challenged the authority. And for us Christians, the concern is that the order which God created, and this is my point today, so forget everything that was said, remember this, okay? That the order that God created, it was good. And then sin comes in and uses all those instruments of authority, of order, and all of these things. Sin uses all of these things to create the opposite of order, create chaos. It creates oppression. It creates everything that it was not, the world was not intended for, because it was supposed to be good. And that is the work of what is going on with sin. And so as Christians, we have the responsibility to reclaim God's creation as good and reclaim the sense of order. And here's what Jesus says. And this is a finer distinction. I'll be talking more about it at our leadership retreat. But just to give you a very quick preview of it. The way we do oppression, and these days, thanks be to how we, you know, are talking and our narratives are going, oppressions are usually done through systems. That's why we call it systemic something, right? You create systems to have that oppressive force, right? That's how oppression is done. And what Jesus is saying, that institutionalization is problematic. That institutionalization is problematic. That is the work of Jesus Christ. If we follow Jesus, we cannot say that that use of a system to create oppression is what Jesus would want us to do. However, at the same time, order and organizing is absolutely important. And as I did at the 8 o'clock, as soon as I use the word organization, I'm going to do a very quick poll. When I say the word organization, how many of you think of it as a noun and how many of you think of it as a verb? Okay, noun people. Yeah? Okay. As a organization, as a noun and as a verb. Okay. All right. So we're doing well here then. I think most people think of it as a noun. Right? And we equate it with institution. It's a great organization. Right? Jesus' concern is the act of organizing, because that's what he did. He organized his 12, he organized 70, he organized furthermore, and he gave the tools to his people. And in this passage, my friends, this great commission, which is the foundation of discipleship, is to do what? Go and organize. But don't organize in your own name. organize in the name of? In the name of? What does this whole story say? What does the story say, the gospel story that you heard today? In the name of? Okay, what is the... Thank you. What is the Great Commission? Come on, let's say. What is the Great Commission? Go, therefore, let's say it. Go, therefore.
And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, that. And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. Right? That is the Great Commission. So we are being asked to go and do the work of organizing the verb. Not for our own selves, but in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christian faith is about grassroots organization. So today, on this Sunday, and for very good reason, I have not said a single word about it. And I can tell you the reason. The reason is that Trinity is a mystery. Anyone trying to explain Trinity runs into a heresy or another. I don't intend to do that, right? There are things which are a mystery. But we do know, mystery as it may be, our triune God is the agent of all the order that is in this world. And that is good. And we are being called to restore that order, not an institution, an order, and for which we have been given the authority. I pray today that the people who are here and beyond, who will take this Great Commission seriously, and in a world that is hurting, and Paul would say, in a world in which there is lack of joy and peace and love, that this understanding of authority, this understanding of order, this understanding of the work that Christ has given us would restore ultimately the joy and love in our communities. Amen.